I had asked you last week to read 1 Corinthians 12 as your homework in preparation for today. I'll be reading selected verses from that chapter. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. There are two ways that ministry is carried out in any Christian church. There is the ministry of the laity and the ministry of the clergy. Whenever any person is baptized into the Christian faith, they receive a call from God into ministry. Each one of us, by virtue of our baptism, and often before we've ever invited Jesus into our hearts, has received a call from God to serve in ministry within the church. God has given you the spiritual gift to do what he wants you to do. The greatest gift is that of a servant. God will give you the ability to carry out that calling when you step out in faith to serve the Lord as part of the church. Each of us, all of us, has a place in God's church, and each of us has a calling to fulfill. Later on this year, we will begin to identify what our spiritual gifts are and how each one of us can best utilize our God-given servant giftedness for the life and the health of God's church. In the Old Testament lesson, we heard about the call to ministry that Jeremiah received from God. Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet. Jeremiah's call shows us very clearly that God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. God made it very clear to Jeremiah what God expected, and God patiently and kindly answered Jeremiah's concerns and questions. Youth and inexperience does not disqualify anyone called by God. Neither does old age disqualify us from serving God. If you look in the Old Testament and reread God's call to Noah and Abraham and Moses, we are reassured that God calls people of all ages. What counts in serving God, no matter our age, is to recognize and obey God's calling and direction. Over the past number of years, it has become more and more evident to me that the local church works the best and is the most healthy when we have cooperative and shared ministry. We work together. And by the grace of God, we get along with each other when we do. In order for a church to be healthy and vital, there has got to be multiple people carrying the load. Not just the pastor, not just the staff person, not just that one person who has done that same job for years and years. I've been a pastor since 1990. In June, that'll be 32 years since I've received my first appointment. And during that time, I have become very passionate about helping congregations become healthy and vital in their shared and cooperative ministries. That's what small groups do in a church. That's what small groups in a church should be about, working to serve Jesus together. Ministry is what we do as a congregation. Ministry is how we care for folks who are part of the congregation and for those who are not. Ministry is about loving each other and also reaching out with Christ's love beyond the building. In today's scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the body when he's describing the church. The church is the body of Christ. As Christ followers in the church, we are all individual members of the one body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, and just like in our physical body, we cannot function without the head directing us. When we are part of the one body of Christ, there are no distinctions. No ethnic or cultural distinctions. No social distinctions. No haves or have-nots. Just as our human body must have diversity to work effectively as a whole, so we within the church must have a variety of gifts and abilities and strengths, all of which can come together and bring about the purpose that Christ gave to his disciples. That purpose is found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's where Jesus said to the disciples, and he says to us, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As we become disciples, God will help us mature in our discipleship. As we mature in our discipleship, God will then use us to help others become disciples, and the process continues. The fact of the matter is we need each other. God will use each of us to help someone else grow in the church. None of us are better than anyone else, and no one ministry is more or less important than the other. The shut-ins at home and those whose ministry it is to pray are every bit as vital as the choir or the lay leaders. All of those people that we recognize this morning and the support people who work with them and all of us as a congregation, all of us are valued in the eyes of Christ, and all of us, every single one of us, are essential for the health and the welfare of the church. Those leadership teams that we recognized have the responsibility to help and to organize and to initiate various types of practical ministry. But for the ministries of this congregation to be fitting into God's plan and purpose, that will take all of us working together towards the common goal of not only becoming disciples of Jesus, but also making disciples of Jesus. I prayerfully encourage you to consider how you will become engaged in the ongoing ministries of this church. Learning what your God-given personal spiritual gifts are will help you to identify where your God-given place is in this church. As Christians, our love for Jesus is shown by putting our faith in action. That means where there's a need, we're there. As individuals, as a Sunday school class or a small group, as a congregation, we're there. Putting our faith in action with love means that we're willing to show our families and our communities and the world around us that we mean business about living a life for Jesus, a life of love for Christ. The reality is, pastors come and go. Church buildings come and go. The church, those Christ followers who are serious about allowing God to use them to make disciples of Jesus, that church will endure forever. A couple of weeks ago, my husband Paul and I stopped in on the youth group, and we were tickled pink to see that the main part of their time together was spent in Bible study. That's called being a disciple. That's called maturing in your faith so that you can explain your faith to others when they ask you about it. That's the thing about knowing Jesus. You want to tell others about him. If you have this incredible urge to tell people about Jesus or to explain the gospel to someone and you just can't find the words, well, you can start by inviting them to church. Make it your personal mission to be sure that this church is a place where everyone is welcomed and where people are encouraged to be involved in the life and the work of ministry and worship. You've already discovered that being committed to Christ is not a private matter. Together, you are the body of Christ. You're individual members of that one body. No one can be a lone ranger in the church. Christ is the head of the church. As different parts of the one body of Christ, we have different strengths, we have different abilities, and Christ's body, the church, functions only as well as our commitment and willingness to work together in cooperative and shared ministry. I am so grateful to God that this church already has a caring ministries team established. Because what I've found out already is that when someone cannot be part of a shared ministry here at the church because of health or disability reasons, that caring ministries team makes sure they're still included and still remembered as an essential part of the body of this church. Cooperative shared ministry isn't just about the pastor working with people who are on committees in the church. Cooperative shared ministry is not about one group in the church working on a particular task or project. Cooperative and shared ministry is about all of us encouraging and praying for each other in our spiritual growth and faith journey. We reach out in love to others who have not yet come to know Christ. We reach out in love to those who have come to know Christ but want to know more. We reach out in love to those persons who know Christ but who have become very discouraged in their walk with Jesus. Following Jesus is not always easy. But the reward of heaven is greater than anything else this world can offer. And as for me, I'd rather have Jesus. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not a Lone Ranger religion. Christianity is first a relationship with Christ and then living out that relationship with other Christ followers. Together we are the body of Christ. God has blessed you with ideas and abilities and life experiences and resources that will enable cooperative and shared ministry to happen and new ministries to start. The whole basis of who we are as Christians means that we take our faith into the world. We take our faith into the world in meaningful ways, with our words and with our lives, with our attitudes, and with a willingness to not be afraid to try new things and perhaps get our hands dirty. When we answer God's call, our first priority is to be praying for others, that God might use us to be at work in their lives. God promises to be with us and guide us and empower us and equip us by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God calls us to do as His church. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also." Jesus also said, "Without me, you can do nothing." A little girl was asked once whose preaching brought her to faith in Christ. And she replied, "It wasn't anybody's preaching. It was Aunt Mary's practicing." The fact that Aunt Mary's life led that little girl to Jesus is evidence that Aunt Mary had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Practicing our faith is our shared cooperative ministry that is the evidence to other people that our personal relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called you. As you answer God's call, God will mold you into the person that He wants you to be. Don't chicken out. Answer God's call. As you practice your faith and pray for others, God will intervene in their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we share in Christ's ministry together, we will see God using all of us to complete His kingdom. Whether you realize it or not, you're sitting here today because God led you here. Being a Christ follower can be exciting. But I warn you, there are times that it can be difficult. But where courage is, there's also excitement. It takes courage to follow Jesus. God has a plan for your life. You don't want to miss out on it. When you trust and obey the Lord works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps on the waves and rides above the storm. And as He passes by, He grabs you by the hand and says, "I am on my way to do something amazing, and I'm taking you along for the ride. Don't be afraid. You'll live. You will live like you have never lived before. Just do what I tell you to do and say what I tell you to say. Trust me. Trust me and take my hand and hang on for the ride of your life." If you've never reached out to take Jesus' hand and would like to, here's how each of us gets started. Admit to God that you've sinned against Him. Be willing to turn from your sins, which is called repentance. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose from the grave. Ask Him to save your soul from the devil so that you may live in heaven with Jesus someday and be given eternal life. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and control your life through the Holy Spirit. And then tell someone what you've done. Let someone else know about your decision to follow Jesus and trust Jesus to lead you through this life. Glory to God. Well, there's today's sermon, and that's all I have to say about that. The message for next Sunday, January 30th, is about courage. And you can prepare for our time together by reading Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 and 17 through 19. I gave the kids homework about helping people this week. Your homework is to take time to read your Bible this week. It's a pretty good book.